And good afternoon. Welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, November 20th, and we have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk about Sunday's Remembrance Gathering. Andy Klein will be here to highlight the new winter beers from the Alaskan Brewing Company. And we'll profile the Salvation Army with Lance and Dana Walters. We'll have Nancy DeCherney here with Arts Up, as she is every week, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, and more here on a Juno Afternoon. But first, join us for National Native News. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Native Americans and environmentalists have joined forces to fight development of a highway project in California. The Coyote Band of Pomo Indians say state and federal agencies are not consulting with them about construction of a four-lane bypass being built over where the tribe says are indigenous ancestral sites. Christina Onnested reports.
Army Corps, open the door!
About 50 people recently rallied for tribal sovereign rights in San Francisco. Attorney Polly Gervin is a consultant for the Coyote Band of Pomo Indians near Willits, California. She says since Caltrans, the lead agency of the highway bypass project, began construction 2 years ago, more than 30 culturally significant sites have been unearthed. She says the agency was supposed to protect at least six sites.
Caltrans did none of that work on six sites and destroyed an ancient village site in the dark of night without an Indian monitor present.
Phil Frisbee, public information officer with Caltrans, says the agency is acting in accordance with the law.
Well, Caltrans, in the development of this project, has followed all state and federal cultural laws.
The tribe is asking the Army Corps of Engineers to step in and help mediate, but a spokesperson for the department says it doesn't have the authority to do so, since Caltrans remains lead agency, which tribal members dispute. While Caltrans and Pomo tribes are at an impasse, construction of the Willits Bypass continues. Christina Onnested, National Native News, San Francisco, California.
The Interior Department is touting its tribal land buyback program on the program's one-year anniversary. The Cobell settlement provided nearly $2 billion to purchase fractionated trust or restricted land from willing sellers. U.S. Interior Deputy Secretary Mike Connor says the program includes tribal consultation and public outreach.
What we're focused on is our outreach efforts. We want to make sure that those folks who are getting offers for their fractionated interests have good information and can make those decisions based on all the factors that they need.
According to the department, land fractionation is a serious problem in Indian country because many tracts have hundreds and even thousands of individual owners, and lands are often idle without any benefit. Landowners have received nearly $225 million, and thousands of acres have been restored to tribes. The rotunda inside Milwaukee City Hall was recently filled with displays, which organizers say informs the public that Native people were in Wisconsin long before settlers arrived. Chuck Kornbach has more.
A Native American dancer moves to the sound of modern Native music. A few feet away, about 50 paintings, sculptures, and other traditional and modern works from Native artists in Wisconsin are displayed on walls and tables. Oneida tribal member John Cook has organized the show as part of his group, the Native American Awareness Project. Cook says the exhibit helps show thousands of Native Americans live in southeastern Wisconsin.
This is the big enchilada here. We get to show people on a larger basis that Natives are here, art world, we're here, and you'll be seeing a lot more of us.
One of the works is a four-panel mural showing tribal members from hundreds of years ago in Milwaukee's Menominee River Valley during all four seasons. Cook says the valley was a center of activity for tribes like the Potawatomi, Menominee, and Oneida.
They'd all come together and meet where the rivers met, which is the Menominee Valley. There they would work out their political and economic problems and solve them.
Currently, the main Native presence in the valley is the Forest County Potawatomi Hotel and Casino, but Cook has plans for more Native-themed artwork there and in other parts of the city. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Kornbach in Milwaukee.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the Striking Eagle Invitational Basketball Tournament and Educational Fair on December 31st. Information on services and the fair at ahcnm.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout, and today is Thursday, November 20th. And my first guests in the studio today are Dan Weiss and Colleen Jones, and they are here from Hospice and Home Care of Juno. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here. Yeah. So we were just talking about before we came on air that you were here last year, Dan, to
yes.
talk about this very same event. And it's actually just a really special and unique, and especially around this time of year, a great event. So I was wondering if you could just start us off with what's going on here this Sunday.
Yes. Well, we're having a remembrance gathering. And it includes a candlelight ceremony to remember and honor those who have passed on. And it especially focuses on people who have been in hospice care. And but it's really for anybody and everybody that has lost loved ones and just wants a time to honor them and to remember them. And so we light candles for each one and remember them. And then we have several other things that go on during the service as well, readings and poems and prayers and things like that.
And is this a non-denominational type service, or is it? How does that work?
Right, it's not designed any particular denomination. It's just it's a religious service, but it's not geared toward any specific type of denomination. So.
Yeah, and Colleen, I was hoping that you could tell us about hospice and home care, because I think people, you know, maybe know about it in theory or heard of it, but
sure.
maybe don't know too much.
Sure. So hospice and home care is, an organization that provides, they're kind of two separate. The home care part is, you know, we work with patients that just need a little more assistance. Say they've come home from a hospital or from a clinic and they just need some skilled nursing care or some physical therapist. So we have a great team of skilled people that either the nurses, the physical therapists, occupational therapists, speech therapists, we've got social work, we have, who else am I missing out here? Dan and the chaplain. But we want to help them get back on their feet, and so until they can get out of the home, so if they have to be homebound for home care. Hospice, on the other hand, is it's kind of end of life. You've got your physician says you probably have 6 months or less, and then we come in and we help keep you comfortable, the nurses, you know, whatever kind of services we can offer you during that time frame or even longer, but it's just offering, you know, the home care in a sense for that end of life.
So, Dan, this service is really for anybody who has lost someone. I was wondering, you know, so everybody in our community is welcome.
Everybody is welcome, yes.
And how
yes.
many people usually attend this event?
You know, some years we have just a few that come, and other years we have a larger number that come. And I think a lot of times it just depends on how people are feeling about things and how it fits in their busy schedule, too. But there's actually quite a few people that typically come out and just to be there to remember and honor the ones who they've loved and have passed on.
Yeah, it's a nice way also for the staff of hospice and home care that they really develop a relationship with these patients. And it's a wonderful way for us to gather as well with the families to honor and share stories and just honor them and respect them and have a time together. It's a nice way to do it in community, that we're not alone and that we do remember all of these people that come through our doors and come through our lives.
For the people.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, and the staff participates in the service. Everybody has a part that they do in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just to share their part in that.
Yeah, and I was wondering, you know, what do you see people as far as being at the remembrance gathering? What has been your experience over the years of how this has helped people through?
I think the fact that somebody has remembered the person that they cared for, a lot of times it's caregivers that come, family members that come, and I think they appreciate the fact that their loved one is not forgotten, that we actually, yeah, we still remember them and we still recognize the part that they had in our life, and their memory is precious. And just because they're gone, they're not forgotten.
Mm-hmm. And what time is the event for those folks who want to attend?
Yeah, it's 3:00 in the afternoon on Sunday at the adult, the Bridge Adult Day Center on Glacier Highway, 1803 Glacier Highway.
Yeah, and so it's a celebration of life in some regards, mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Thank you. Anything else you'd like to tell us about the event?
We have music there as well. And
yeah, Tom Loker is going to be providing some background music for us, and we have refreshments for folks to enjoy afterwards. And it's not a very long ceremony. It's fairly short, but it's enough time to also linger and visit with folks afterwards as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Dan and Colleen, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this Sunday's Remembrance Gathering and Candlelight Ceremony. At Sunday, November 23rd at 3 p.m. at the Bridge Adult Day Center. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to, welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. It's Thursday, November 20th. And in the studio with me, my mentor also, he gave up the seat to me, this very
That's
side of
true.
The chair.
I forgot about that.
That's right. It's Andy Klein.
How
hey.
You doing, Shona?
It's going so swell.
Yeah,
yourself?
It's going well.
So,
I mean, you know. Go
You've
ahead.
Got beer.
I was going to say, let's just cut to the chase here.
I love my volunteer job.
Yes.
My favorite thing ever.
I love
that
Jeff always shows up during my segments. Hey, Jeff, how's it going? Just checking out things out. Just making sure everything's going okay.
Quality control.
Well, yeah, Jeff, hey, Brown. Our winter ale is out. So winter ale, it's been out for a couple of weeks now. We brought it out in November this year, a little bit later than we did last year. And so this is really a taste of winter in Juneau. It smells like Christmas.
It does.
It's got spruce tips in it. It's got, it's an old English ale.
And, you know, it's based off of a Captain Cook recipe. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Our genius founder, co-founder, Jeff Larson, who is really a remarkable brewer in his own right, as well as running a whole company. But he many years ago, was reading some accounts of Captain Cook and saw that he used to add certain, depending on the lands he was going through, he would add stuff into his crew's beer in order to boost the vitamin C so they wouldn't get scurvy.
Scurvy. Yeah, I was just talking about scurvy last night.
Yes, haven't we all? Keeping the scourge of scurvy away from Juno.
Seriously.
And so the spruce tips have high vitamin C in them, and they kept his crew good and healthy and hale, as they say, and full of vim and vigor. And so that's what we started doing. That's what Jeff started brewing and experimenting with. He used an old English ale because he thought that would be the kind of beer that might well have been what was brewed for Captain Cook's journeys, although the records weren't very clear on that. But he had multiple log entries about adding spruce tips and different types of spruce boughs, and he tried different stuff to add flavor and this nutrients to his beer and
how
to his
cool.
crew's beer. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that the Alaskan Brewing Company is actually looking out for my health.
I'm telling you, right? we don't want anyone to get scurvy. We would feel awful. If I hear of scurvy happening this winter, I'm going to really be upset. But let's do this here. Here, turn up the mic a little bit.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Very nice. See what you think about this. Now, winter ale is kind of fun because every year it's a little maybe slightly different because the spruce tips are different. You know, I mean, it's an agricultural product, and all of beer is. That's one thing that people maybe don't realize, but, you know, year to year, how year to year in wine you can say 98 was a good year,
exactly.
Right? And
yeah.
There was, the grapes were dry, and it was a dry, something like that. In beer, you can't say that. When you open an amber or a winter, or it's supposed to taste like you remember it tasting. And we adjust our recipes slightly year to year to make sure that all of our beers are still taste the same way. And winter is one that's just a little bit different because those spruce tips can taste very different depending on weather conditions and if it was dry or wet or what time of year they were picked.
Where are the spruce tips harvested?
Yeah, so a really fun story to that is that they're all harvested in about a 3 or 4 day period, all in Gustavus. The whole community of Gustavus in late spring, early summer turns out and starts picking spruce tips. And then they turn them into the general store there where they vacuum seal them and immediately freeze them. And those are the spruce tips that we use. They're all picked in a very short amount of time in Gustavus. And so we think we have the best spruce tips in the world because we don't pick them over a multiple-week period. If you let the spruce tips grow longer, next spring, if you're hiking around and you see spruce tips, pick one and pop it in your mouth. They taste amazing.
They do.
They're lemony and kind of like citrusy tasting and tart. And but the longer you let them go, the bigger the spruce tip, the more piney it sort of starts tasting and starts you get that sap.
Well, it makes sense because it's
becoming a tree.
Else, yeah.
Yeah, right. So anyway, we feel like our spruce tips add this very light, zesty, lemony, and a lot of our brewers even say bubblegummy. See if that's something that you get out of it, but almost a candy characteristic to it, which I'm going to enjoy right now.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. The sound of people tasting beer.
I know. If you could. Yes. But, I have to say, this particular winter ale is on my top three Alaskan brewing beers. I mean, smoked porter, it's, well, you
love
know
it.
What I'm saying. Yeah.
Hugely popular.
But I wait for this beer to come out all the time.
Yep.
And I think it's because of the spruce dip, really.
Well, right. And it's such a unique flavor. You know, there's really not that many other beers out there that are experimenting with that flavor. And we've kind of, I think, nailed it, and had it nailed down for a number of years now.
Well, and a lot of the other winter beers, too, that pop out are actually really, really dense and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they pull on that syrup, like a... what's the molasses-y type flavor?
Right.
And this one is nicer than the lighter.
Yeah. So I like that, too. I agree. It's very drinkable, even though it's a little heartier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little higher alcohol content to this beer than, like, our normal amber. This is a 6.4%, alcohol content to this beer, so it's a little bit higher, not crazy, but, you know, a little bit stouter, a little bit bigger beer, and a little bit more warming, as we say. But so that's nice for the winter. We kind of feel like that's a nice thing to have in the winter. But it's not, I don't feel like it's overly heavy.
Does it have some of the kind of typical spices that are used in the winter? Or are we nutmeggy or anything like
no,
that?
No, it really has no other spices.
Cool.
It's a Old English ale with spruce tips added, and and that's really it.
Anything.
That's right. That's the major ingredients is really just that. And that's what's really interesting is all that other flavor that you're getting, that's the spruce tip. It's a really interesting ingredient in that way because
cool.
The longer you boil it, the more sappy it gets. So it's all about the amount of time it spends in the boil, how big the spruce tips are, and all that as well. So all that's going into our winter ale, which is available now and will only be available until maybe through February.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's going fast. You know, we had our pumpkin porter.
Yeah.
People loved that.
It was good.
So it sold quick. So we had to get our winter ale out. So now we got it out, but it's selling quick because people were kind of waiting for it to come out because of the pumpkin porter. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, ask one more question about this winter ale. It looks like the design, I don't know, it's purpley or it's, I don't know. Is that
wrong? Is it to you?
It's popping more to me.
It's been purpley-ish like this for a few years.
Yeah.
But this
deeper.
One's not different than last year.
Okay.
This one's the same as last year and even the past few years. It got a little bit of a redesign about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's this label has been the label for the past five years or so.
Well, that's about Juno. I'm about five years behind.
Yes, that's what happens. Just catching up.
Yeah. Well, I am going to play one of these songs by one of our favorite local, non-local artists, and then we'll come back and talk some more about some Alaskan brewing beer.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Couple of years too young to appreciate you yet. We met up again at age 13. We finally got it on, if you know what I mean. I never will forget that fateful rowdy night. The phone call from the police really gave my folks some fright. From that evening on, we were best friends. And this is the story of how this love affair began. And her name was
Beer.
We met a long time ago.
Beer.
But I was too young to know
Beer.
That you'd be my best friend.
Beer.
We'd be together till the end.
Free beer.
You're my favorite kind.
Beer.
But I don't mind buying, I'd live on beer if I could, cause I never had anything so dang good. We were classic high school sweethearts, and we're still together now. You win my heart back every night, but I can't remember how. You like going strolling hand in hand, and I try to keep a firm grip on your little round cane. And her name was
Beer.
We met a long time ago.
You're on.
But I'm
too young to know. I love me some Sean Tracy.
Oh, I love that song so much. So much. And I love the subject matter.
It's beer.
Speaking of the subject matter, Alaskan Brewing Company, during that little song.
What?
During that little song interlude, I just finished my beer.
Did you?
And, yeah.
Did you
a
little small pour?
Oh, you know.
You better. Got the rest of a show to do.
I do have to talk appropriately. But speaking of new beers, do you have some more Pilot Series stuff coming out? Or
we
what,
do.
What's on?
Our Double Black IPA is also out now, so
yes.
that's out, and that's delicious. And our Smoke Porter is just out as well, the 2014 Smoke Porter. We've got a Smoke Porter Vintage Pack this year that has a 2013 and a 2008 and a couple of nice little glasses in it.
No way.
So great gift set. So check that out and look for it.
That's very cool.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. And then the other thing that's really cool is that our depot, of course, our downtown depot, we're like a department store down there. That place is huge.
It is gargantuan.
It's huge. The depot. So we've got these awesome Black Friday specials coming up for the day after Thanksgiving. So we got 50% off of Sherpas, the kind of Sherpa hoodie, cool fleece lined, you know, like wool, lamb's wool.
Are those new?
They're pretty new. They're pretty new. Yeah, they've been out for a few months, but they're pretty new. Yeah. So that's a cool thing. And then there's also a 10% off all the clearance items there. So you can get like these awesome. I think it's an awesome place to go for gifts and stuff. You know, everyone.
And the only thing I send out is time.
Right.
Actually.
Exactly. Right. It's awesome. Right. And then there's this really cool thing, which if you get a gift card of like $20 or more, you get a free growler thrown in, a free glass growler that you can then take over to our gift shop and fill up.
Wow.
Right?
Grass growler 72 times. I
right?
even said grass.
Right? And then, of course, the other thing that's happening at the depot is First Friday is coming up in a couple of weeks, so we're going to have the symphony playing the big First Friday. You know, this is the Christmas big
Friday. It's the First Friday, yeah.
And we get the symphony packed in there.
Yes. How many?
I know, right? You know, 300-400 of them. I don't know. No, not that many. There's a certain segment. It's the symphony. I don't know. Anyway, the symphony's playing at the gallery walk.
Wow.
Which is going to be really cool.
That is super cool.
That's sort of people kind of know that kind of, we've been doing that for a few years now, every December gallery walk, so that's been a cool thing. And it's awesome. It's a great venue.
Well, I love because you do that for every First Friday, you have a band, and it's been really cool.
Yeah, it's been really cool. And, you know, the other thing that's been happening that I've been seeing it more is that more and more people are coming out to the you know, there's two locations, right? There's downtown, the depot, the big one. And then, of course, there's at the brewery. But the brewery is where you can get your growlers filled. And because people are starting to fill growlers more and more, I get to see more and more people out there, it seems like. It seems like people are really making that a big stop out there. So that's been really fun. So all these specials and stuff are for both locations, which is cool.
Oh, yeah. I love that Smoked Porter pack.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You're going to love it. The Vintage Pack. It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm way into that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Black beers for Black Friday. That's what I think. Double Black IPA, Smoked Porter.
Done.
Vintage Pack. Boom.
Boom. Holiday
done.
Shopping. Guest
yes.
list. Done.
Over.
Nice. So what's on the horizon? Do you get to talk about beers that are on the horizon?
No. Yes.
Oh,
sure.
Okay.
I can. Yes. Maybe. No. Yes. Well, we got, so there's a couple of, you know, the one thing that's really cool if you're, you know, for us Junoites, we get to have this Rough Draft Limited. So if you know, those aren't in bottles, but you can get them in growlers out at the gift shop, or if you're out and about and at a bar or at a restaurant that has our Rough Draft series, and that's really cool stuff. So we've had our Cran Spruce, which is a really interesting
thing. I tried
that.
It's
got
the
spruce tips and the sour cranberry, and we use an acidulated malt, which gives a sour flavor. So it's kind of like a tart. So that's been a really fun one.
It was surprisingly also refreshing.
Yeah, no, right. Because, it's got that cranberry juice in it. I mean, that's what it's got.
Totally,
in it. Yeah.
Totally drinkable.
Yeah, right. And then the other one is the Azaka Pale. Azaka is a dwarf hop that's named after the Haitian god of agriculture. Yes! I know you already knew that, but I just threw it in there.
Totally
and
that.
It's a single hop variety beer that we did. So it's this hop variety, Azaka, it's kind of a new hop. It's just very complex and a really interesting hop. So it has a lot of different flavors, citrusy flavors and even sort of like grassy flavors and all kinds of really interesting hop flavors that come out of it. But it's just a single hop where usually you have to blend a lot of different hops to get all that complexity of flavor. So the Azaka Pale, that's a really cool one to get if you see it anywhere out and about.
And that'll be Rough Drafts just for Juno.
Yeah, Rough Draft Limited just for Juno. And then
we
got
lucky.
One coming out real soon called the Chipotle Ale. Your hands went up in the air.
They did. I just did a little dance in here.
Yeah, this is chipotle and some cocoa in it as well, so it's got a mole flavor going on, and it's a really cool, interesting beer.
Yeah, and you know what's so cool, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to.
Yes.
I love how that the brewery partners brewers with other employees there to
oh,
come
yeah.
up with you know, new ideas and new things.
I got to do the coffee brown ale that we did last year that's going to come out secretly. It's going to come out as a pilot series next year. I'm so excited about. Now, I just got to haul the bags while Tyler pointed. Tyler and Darren were the guys who were the masterminds behind that on our end, and then they worked with roasters at Heritage Coffee who were the masterminds on their end. But that was a really, you're right. As an employee, it was such an awesome experience to be able to brew with someone who is a world-renowned brewer. We have these world-renowned brewers here in Juneau. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And it was so fun to work with them, and they were really so generous with their time, and they're happy to explain it to the other employees there and all that. And that's you're right, it's a really cool program. And then, employees who are not brewers come in with fresh new ideas that brewers maybe just haven't thought of yet, maybe. And that's a really cool angle that happens, too. So a lot of the new flavors happen because of that.
Yeah, and then they come out so we can try them.
This Cran Spruce one, for instance, that was one that was a collaboration among a bunch of different employees with our quality assurance manager who acted as the lead brewer. But we had other employees that worked on that as well. So Adrian and Brad worked on it with
cool.
Dave, and it was awesome. It came up with that combination.
Yeah. Wow. And where can people check it out online? Because you guys have a great website, too.
Yeah, alaskanbeer.com. Just go to alaskanbeer.com. You can see all the different pilot series, and you can find out all the information about when beers are getting released and stuff like that. You can find out where the beers are and all that stuff on alaskanbeer.com.
Cool. And you can always check out the Depot downtown to get your holiday swag.
Yeah.
Check out the First Friday event. That's going to be totally cool. Or head
out. Entire symphony.
The entire
300
symphony.
People in the symphony. I don't even know how it's going to be. I don't know what. Symphony, they're in the elevators. They're all over the place.
They spill out.
They just spill out onto the street.
Andy Klein, always such a treat.
Thanks, Shona. Awesome to be here.
Thank you.
You do a great job. Thanks.
And here is Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, November the 20th, 2014. It was on this day, 1971, a ban was placed on the use of DDT, in large part due to Rachel Carson's book Silent Spring, which had come out 9 years before. It's the birthday of Don DeLillo, the novelist, 1936, Bronx, New York, who said, "I became a writer by living in New York and seeing and hearing and feeling all the great, amazing, and dangerous things the city endlessly assembles. And I also became a writer by avoiding serious commitment to anything else." Hemingway was one of his early heroes. After college, DeLillo took a job as an advertising copywriter, quit just as he was getting good at it, he said. His first novel was Americana in 1971. His 15th Point Omega came out in 2010. Don DeLillo, who said, "I've never thought of myself in terms of a career. I don't have a career. I have a typewriter." And it's the birthday of Nadine Gordimer, born in Spring, South Africa, 1923, who wanted to write about life in her country and never intended to write political novels, but she knew that she would have to write about the repression of black South Africans under apartheid. Three of her novels were banned in South Africa. She was criticized for writing from the point of view of black characters, though she herself was white. She said, "There are things that blacks know about whites that we don't know about ourselves, that we conceal and don't reveal in our relationships." Here's a poem for today by Idris Anderson entitled Recollection of Tranquility. "The first time we ever quarreled, you were cutting an onion in the kitchen of our rented cottage. I remember vividly we were making Creole for a late-night supper with champagne, and you were taking, it seemed, forever to cut the onion. Each time your dull paring knife chopped on the counter, I shifted my feet, and I saw once in a glimpse over my shoulder a white wedge of onion wobbling loose. I sighed inaudibly. The butter I stirred had already bubbled and browned. I was starting over with a new yellow lump that was slipping on the silver aluminum when you brought cupped in your hands, the broken pieces, the edges all ragged, the layers separated, bruised and oozing cloudy white onion juice. I complained. The family recipe stated specifically the onion must be finely chopped, for what I explained were very good reasons. Otherwise, the pungent flavors would be trapped irrevocably in the collapsed cellular structure of the delicate root. You sighed, I guess, inaudibly, and adjusted your glasses carefully with two fingers, a fidget I have since come to know as a sign of mild perturbation, and explained, the pungence of onions too finely chopped would be simmered away. The original sharp burning crispness could be retained only in fairly large bite-sized chunks. But you wouldn't fight tradition. I chopped onion on the counter with the dull knife while you set the table and figured the best way of popping the cork. Recollection of Tranquility by Idris Anderson from her collection Mrs. Ramsey's Knee, published by Utah State University Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's Poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. And by Arizona State University, with more than 70 campus degrees, now available 100% online at online.asu.edu. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, November 20th, and I'd like to welcome to the studio Lieutenants Lance and Dana Walters, as well as Cadets Jessica and Kelsey from the Salvation Army. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
So we were just talking before you came on air that it is tis the season to give around town, and the Salvation Army plays such a huge role both in our community as well as nationally. Thanks so much for sharing your time with us and letting us know about what's going on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yes, we are doing, of course, our wonderful Thanksgiving dinner downtown at the Hangar, and that will be Thanksgiving Day. And I've told a couple people it started at 11:30, but it actually starts at 11, and it goes till about 1:30 or when the food runs out. Last year we served 485 people, and it was great. It wasn't necessarily, it didn't matter what your income level was. All sorts of people came and ate together, and it was wonderful. And of course, the Hangar is just amazing. They provide quite a bit of the food just on their own, and so it's just such a blessing. They're just amazing.
And so this is for, it's through the Hangar Ballroom, right? So people go through that area?
Right. They go in, come in, and then in the mall area, there's a buffet, and then you go in and you actually sit down, and they have servers who bring you a drink, you know, soda, coffee, milk for the kiddos. Yeah.
And so how is that? Is the rest of the food provided locally, and are you looking for donors? Or?
It is provided through donations of people in the community.
So what we need right now would be like 5-pound bags of potatoes, whipping cream in a can, and rolls that are already cooked, not the bake and serve, because I really don't have time to bake 3,000 rolls.
No?
No, I know, right? And
store-bought pies.
And store-bought pies. Yeah, we can't do homemade pies, although I know everyone has so much time at this time of the year to go home and bake a pie. But we have to do store-bought pies just because of the, we're serving it in a public restaurant and everything.
And what about servers? Are you looking for people to come and help?
We have a lot of volunteers already in place. Actually, we've been turning away volunteers because it's just so well known and people want to help out, which we appreciate all that the people wanting to volunteer. So
maybe if it's not on that day, it could be in another way. What are the other ways people can get involved?
Actually, throughout the whole holiday season, we have different volunteer opportunities with Red Kettle Campaign.
And what's that?
The Red Kettle Campaign is when you go to the grocery store and you hear somebody ringing a bell. It's
ringing. I didn't know it was called that.
Yes.
Since I was a little pumpkin, I had no idea. Well, cool.
Yep. It's the Red Kettle Campaign, and we actually have a website that you can go onto. It's volunteer@usawest.org, and fill out a brief volunteer application. And then you can pick and choose the location and the times that you want to ring with your family or you want to ring alone. And it raises the finances, a lot of the finances for the Salvation Army here in Juneau.
That's amazing. And you also have, I imagine there's a way to, you know, if you're donating at the shop or if there's another way there.
For donating, yes, you can come by the church. You can go over to the family store. We actually have a little red kettle sitting on the counter there, and people like to drop in their change in there. Yeah.
That's great. Jessica and Kelsey, I learned that you are from out of town, so you're up to Juneau visiting. And what are the purposes of your visit here?
Well, we're actually called cadets, which, as you know, is usually at the bottom of the totem pole. And we're in training college to become officers like the lieutenants over here. And we will, in 5 short months after we get back from this 5-week excursion to Alaska, be made into officers in the Salvation Army. So it is a practical internship.
And what are the things that you're working on while you're here?
It's more about learning the Christmas programs. Christmas is a huge thing in the Salvation Army, and so we actually both years go out onto the field and learn different things from kettles, angel tree, adopt a family, food boxes. We learn all of that stuff and have to compile a little report for when we go back to school.
Oh, that's great. And the angel tree, I've seen those around town for sure as well.
Yes, we have those every year, and those will be up next week. And there will be angel tree tags ready for people to take one and purchase a gift. And, of course, excuse me, lots of people like to have those to shop on Black Friday. And we will have those available, and then you would just bring your gift back unwrapped and to the location where you got it or any Salvation Army location where there's an angel tree. Or you can actually bring it to the church.
So what if you're listening and you are a family in need? So maybe you're not a person who is going to do the purchasing for an angel tree, but you are a person on the other side who might need some assistance. Who do they contact and how does that work?
Well, that's one of the best parts of being in the Salvation Army is getting to bless people at Christmas. So if people come, they can come to our social service office, which is open Tuesdays from 9 to 11:30 and Thursdays from 4 to 6:30. And they can receive, they can fill out an application for Christmas assistance. And that would either be a Christmas box if you don't have any kiddos in your house. And if you do have kiddos, then you would fill out an application which included their information for gifts. And just give that back to us. Actually, today is the last day to fill out a Christmas application this evening from 4 to 6:30. Of course, if there's emergencies, we would always, you know, assist with that. But we've actually been doing it since the beginning of October.
Oh, wow. So today is actually a really pretty
important
day.
Yes, right. It is.
Glad you're on air today.
And the box is not just a box. The box has like a turkey and just goodies to be able to prepare a Christmas meal.
Mm-hmm. That's really amazing. How many people do you think the Salvation Army serves in, and are you mostly Juneau, or do you go all of Southeast?
Well, there's different Salvation Armies. There's one in Cake, Sitka, Ketchikan, you know, Anchorage, different places and villages. So for us, you know, Lance and I, we are just here in Juneau, and whatever comes into Juneau stays in Juneau. So kind of like Vegas.
Yeah. Kind of.
Okay, maybe not.
Okay,
really.
Maybe not. How many people does Salvation Army serve here in Juneau annually? Do you know?
That's
a good question.
That's a great question. We probably serve out of our food pantry, I'm going to say about 800 people a year. And that's just not, that's like 800 units. Mm-hmm. So then however many more people are associated with those. And then, of course, we do just did coat distributions, a number of those, and we probably gave away about 350 coats. And
for kids,
and then we do backpacks for kids back to school. So just completed those, and then the Thanksgiving, the Christmas, the adoptive family, the angel tree. Oh my, so lots. I couldn't even come up with that figure off the top of my head.
It's been a really, really amazing service for our community. Kelsey and Jessica, I was just wondering if you could kind of finish with this. Why did you get involved in the Salvation Army, and what drove you to serve in this manner?
Well, one thing that a lot of people don't know about the Salvation Army, I'm sure everyone from Juno does because they're smarter than most people. The Salvation Army, first and foremost, is a church. And within that, the call of Jesus Christ is that we would serve suffering humanity. And well, there's a lot of great churches out there. For me, what drew me to this church was the fact that Monday through Saturday, more than just on Sunday, we were doing what the church should be doing. And that was really attractive to me.
What about you?
Well, I had the privilege to grow up in the Salvation Army, so I witnessed my family always giving back. And so as a teenager, I kind of rebelled a little bit. But as an adult, I've really seen the good that the organization does, and I want to be a part of it.
That's wonderful. Jessica, Kelsey, and Lieutenants Lance and Dana Walters, thank you for all you do for our community and coming on to talk about the Salvation Army. And people can volunteer and get involved. You can check out volunteer at usawest.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And here is Bird Note for Thursday, November 20th.
This is Bird Note. Ever used the term eagle eye? The eye of an eagle is one of the most sensitive in the animal kingdom, and its size can cause it to weigh more than the eagle's brain. The secret to the bird's exceptional vision is the density of visual cells, the rods and cones of its retina. Look at the back of your hand. Your rods register the overall shape. The cones register details such as contour and color. The density of rods and cones within a raptor's eye may be 5 times more than in your own eye. So when hunting in open country, the golden eagle uses its 7-foot wingspan to ride thermals high into the air. There, it spots the minute movement of its favorite prey, a rabbit, over a mile away. That's like you driving at 40 miles an hour and being able to look back to where you were when this bird note started and see a jackrabbit. So the next time you give the eagle eye to a raptor, chances are it saw you first. Go eye to eye with a golden eagle when you visit our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
Support for a Juno Afternoon comes from BEP Company, providing remanufacturing and recycling services for toner and inkjet print cartridges, serving Juno for 25 years. More information at bepcompany.com or 789-2230.
And thank you for tuning in to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Osterhout. Today is Thursday, November 20th. And here in the studio, the one, the only, Ms. Nancy DeCherney. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. And I felt really bad because while you were not here, we had beer. So
I'm really unhappy about that.
I'm sorry. I am sorry.
But that means there's a new beer out, right?
Well, the winter is back out.
Oh, okay. So it's time.
Really,
it's a seasonal thing.
It is the season.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, well, good. I mean, I'm glad you're happy.
Okay, wow, you should have seen that look, Juno audience. That was a good one.
So there's one thing at least we don't have to talk about this week.
Beer?
Well, that.
Oh.
Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Sold out.
sold out.
Sorry.
In fact, it's a little crazy over there. I'm actually thinking about just staying here all day.
It is a fabulous show, and it's worth standing in line to get in on the wait list because that does happen.
It does. Actually, everybody who has been on the wait list has been able to get in. So
queue up now. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so pressing on. We do have the Winter's Tale that
I know,
we can be watching.
It's the last weekend for the Winter's Tale.
It's the last weekend for the Winter's Tale, which means there's a matinee. And but it's at 7:30 this evening, 7:30 Friday and Saturday, and then at 3 p.m., I believe it is. Oh, no, 2 p.m.
2 p.m., yeah.
I would have been late. Oh. So hearing great things about that as well. So let's see. On Friday, there is the Woosh Kennedy Poetry Slam. And what makes this one special above all others is that we were able, through the fog, to get the Poet Laureate from Hawaii in.
He's in.
He's here.
Cool.
He's landed.
Cool.
So, yeah, and he will be a guest, do a guest appearance at that one. And then whoever wins from at that slam will open for him on Saturday night at the slam that he's doing at our place.
That is so special and cool.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the Silver Bow Bakery. Dan Hobson is doing his classical guitar, of course, at the Baranoff. Opera to Go is having a fun drive as part of the Calamity Jane thing, I believe. Their theater at Latitude 58 is doing Calamity Jane. This is out at Thunder Mountain High School, and I think it's a collaboration with Opera to Go.
Which is nice.
Yeah. And we've already talked about the theater that you have to go stand in line for. And then there's the other one. You can get tickets for that at the DAC or at Hearthside Books. The annual bazaar, you just spoke about that with the Salvation Army. It's bazaar season.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bazaar season.
It is.
Yeah, so there's also one at Northern Light Church at 9 a.m. until 2:30. And I remember they always have good soup at that one, so think about that. You got to plan your food meals carefully. Marianne Manning is the presentation at the City Museum at 10:30, the coffee and collection sort
Ooh,
of thing.
That'll be cool.
There's also a morning at the movies, but I don't know what they're showing over at the Gold Town Nickelodeon.
They won't tell us. I've asked. But it's for kids.
It's for kids. Kids don't care what they see?
I think it's shorts.
Okay, very good.
Not like short shorts, but short films.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Short attention spans can go. There's also at 12:30 the second annual Lynn Cannell Fire Station open house. Now, why is the – oh, that – I'm just sorry. I skipped a line here. So anyway, that's out at 17 Mile Glacier High, just before Tea Harbor there. There is at from 1 to 4 p.m. a page-to-stage workshop at the Douglas Library. That's free 1 to 4 on Saturday. The Poetry Slam, Kealoha is going to offer a How to Present Your Poetry from the Stage workshop. And right now it's scheduled for Saturday. We're thinking he's here all day Sunday, and we thought maybe we'll do it on Sunday. So stay tuned on that one. Let's see, what else do we want to talk about? Trail Mix, Dinner and Auction, Centennial Hall, 6 p.m. Harry Potter, Theme Ball, Yule Ball out at UAS, the Rec Center. Yes.
I have no idea. I want to put my lightning on and go.
Okay, 7 p.m. I think I don't know if you have to be a UAS student to do that. But there is a – you could qualify for
being
out there
a lot. I know, you were like, Shona, UAS students. Hello.
I don't know, but you're a teacher, so you can
– That's true.
Yes, you know these
crash
things.
That party.
And as I said, Kealoha, the National Poetry Grand Slam champion and Poet Laureate of Hawaii, is performing at the Jack at 7 p.m. Again, Kari Gruven saw this, and she spoke with us on yesterday about how inspiring this person's speeches and poets and poetry and everything is. So if you need a little up, this is probably the place.
You know what's really cool in the newspaper today, too, is that there's a beautiful article about Ernestine Hayes and coming out of the Poet Laureate for our state, and then incoming is the Poet Laureate for Hawaii.
Oh, that's Nora Downauer.
Isn't that what I said?
Said Ernestine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's Ernestine. All right, but
it
Ernestine
is
would qualify
yes.
if you had
to. It's the UAS connection. I was working with Ernestine.
But yes, Poet Laureates abound, and poetry abounds in this town. It's the Jack gallery show is poetry right now. It's beautiful. So let's see. We've got the ukulele jam on Sunday, of course. There's a painting party. There's the jumpers, Juno jumpers, and Calamity Jane on Sunday. And you already spoke about the hospice care remembrance gathering. And let's see, Monday, do we need to know? There's a pie sale on Tuesday from 2 to 6 p.m., and that's important because Thanksgiving is coming right up.
That's next week.
Yeah, it's next week, next Thursday, on Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. is the Thanksgiving Day turkey trot along the airport trail, and pie sale again at the Foodland IGA. And there is a bike clinic with Cycle Alaska, and there is turkey bowling in the Treadwell Arena. I think this is playing with your food.
Oh, yeah. That's when they set up the pins, and then you bowl with the turkey.
Butterball.
And then you win. I don't know. That's what it is.
There's this, like, a little part of me that thinks that's not good, but...
At least it's frozen.
Yes, well, could be fun.
The arena is frozen.
And then on Thursday, of course, it is Turkey Day, Thanksgiving, and then the day after that is Public Market.
Public Market is boom. It's on.
Yes. I hope everybody's ready for that.
I'm totally not ready, but I will be.
Yes.
And I also wanted to mention F2M, that's playing at the university as well, closing weekend for that. It's a play. That's going to be pretty awesome, so people should check that out. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 7:30 p.m. That'll be pretty awesome. And then, Nancy, this has everything to do with art. What do you do for Thanksgiving? I mean, you're like an amazing chef. So how does that work at your house?
Well, this year it's going to work awkwardly because the kitchen is gone.
Oh, are you remodeling?
Yes.
So I should have asked last year, what are you going to do?
Oh, you know.
You're going to somebody else's house.
No, actually, we're doing pretty well. What do I do? I mean, I love cooking, so whatever we do is always try to do a little something different. But, you know, there's just something about you don't want to get too wild and crazy with Thanksgiving. It has a regime that goes with it. It has to have certain things, and you can't mess with that. I'm sorry.
You're right.
But the best deal is to make it as best as you can.
Yeah.
Like, don't make icky, whatever it is.
I just discovered cranberry and port together.
Oh.
And that has been...
It's becoming a new thing.
It's my thing. Uh-huh. My new tradition.
Yeah, so that works well with that, what you're doing.
Yeah. So we won't be able to chat next Thursday because we'll be cooking and eating. And do you watch football?
No.
No, not at your house.
No.
Yeah. Uh-uh. Yeah, cool, me neither. So I wonder if there are other things that are happening while Public Market kind of eats everybody's life artistically in the best way. Mm-hmm. But anything after that we might need to be aware of for the weekend?
I can't remember. There are, like, the Box Society is coming up, and I sort of lose track of where things are. But that's, like, the first weekend, I think, the 6th.
I think, yeah, December 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, like, once we hit December, there's the Nutcracker coming. There's the Box Society holiday. There's the Holiday Pops thing that the...
I was talking to Sally Smith. She said she has over 70 performers.
One of these days we'll just stop having audiences. We'll just all perform.
Please don't say that.
Well, we'll just all be on stage. What the heck, you know? We're all artists.
It's both.
Yes. No, there are so many wonderful things that go on, and I think that it's just a wonderful, you know, Gallery Walks is on the 5th, and I'm excited to report that it looks like we're going to extend First Friday out to Salmon Creek, not this in December, but probably February or March, so be tuned into that as a new opportunity.
Wow.
For things, yeah. It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. Well, we need a party bus going from...
That's a great plan. We should get the party bus going back and forth.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And well, we can do wine tastings on the bus.
Cha-ching. Always thinking over here. Always thinking. I did have a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
And I was wondering, what is the price? And could we talk one more time about the Poet Laureate of Hawaii?
Yeah, the Poet Laureate is on Saturday at 7, and it's like $18. And also there is, for the workshop, we still have some scholarships available.
Oh, cool.
The workshop is $25, but If you want to apply for a little grant for that, by all means do so. It's just a wonderful opportunity to get involved. If you're part of the Wushkanadi Poetry Slam, there's a little discount that we're offering that group too. So I hope that lots of people will come. As I said, Kari was so enthusiastic about this.
This guy's amazing.
Yeah.
He is. I mean, totally checked him out. He's wonderful. I mean, in an appropriate way. Yes.
God, I am
losing here today. So where do we find
tickets? Yeah. Our side books, both Town and Valley, Rainy Retreat, the Jack online, come to the door. I mean, it's at the Jack, so we're flexible over there.
Cool.
We can get you in.
And what about this fabulous community calendar?
It is at jahc.org or kto.org.
Nancy the Cherney, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this is KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Juno Afternoon today on Thursday, November 20th. Please stay tuned for President Obama's speech on immigration coming up here at 4 p.m. Thank you so much and have a great day.
From NPR News, this is special coverage as we await President Obama's speech where he will outline changes to immigration policy. I'm Melissa Block.